Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count for your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 203, episode 1 of Your Daily Zeitgeist, yeah! A production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. Huh. It's Monday, September 20th, 2021. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Oh, Trump is bigger. He's bigger than you, and you aren't on TV. The ratings Trump delivers, those muscly ham-sized thighs. Oh no, I said too much about the thighs. That is courtesy of Justin Gleasoning, and it is, yeah, a little losing my religion for Donald Trump. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
I mean, you heard it. When it comes to long games, I'm not good at throwing frisbee. So here we go with this rendition of frisbee, 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 frisbee. Please don't make me play because I can't. You toss it with a subtle fling. The grass is slick with summer rain, and I cannot complete the catch frisbee. You could have your choice of teams, but I may never run again. I think I jacked my knee. Frisbee. Now, shout out to Christy Yamaguchi Main at Alora underscore Main. You started. I love to see this. Someone does one thing, then you hop on and you make a whole AKA. So credit to you. And thank you for understanding my plight as a terrible thrower of the disc.
That's beautiful. I heard that was written all in one day.
Yeah. On the spot, man.
Yeah, same day that they wrote an AKA for I Will Always Love You. Well, we are thrilled to be joined by a brilliant writer and comedian who's written for The Pete Holmes Show and Cedric's Barber Battle. He co-hosts the great podcast Couples Therapy with Naomi Ekperigin, and his interview podcast Beginnings just celebrated its 500th episode. In a past life, he was a philosophy professor and PhD candidate. Please welcome the brilliant, the deep, the hilarious Andy Beckerman!
Hi, everyone.
What's up?
I'm so glad that everything I've done since I moved to Hollywood is just development or pilots that went nowhere.
Hey.
So you have to kind of dig deep in there for something.
I don't know, man. That's cool. Love Cedric. Love Pete
No, it's
Holmes.
Cool. I wrote that entire show with a friend of mine because he had hired all of his friends to write it and they weren't writers. So at some point they're like, maybe we should hire actual writers to write this show.
Yeah. You got some shows in development also? Is that what I'm seeing?
Yeah, like every other person in this town, yes.
No,
yeah.
I don't know, but you have shows in development with like some companies I've heard of, like, I don't know, CBS. So, you know,
yeah.
No
big deal. Yes, that is true.
What's good, man? How have you been?
I mean, the truth is incredibly depressed, but
loaded question.
Yeah, you know, the slow dystopia is upon us, and I've just been trying to claw out from a hole, but
I feel you.
You know, day to day, it's not bad. We have our dog's in remission. Mabel in remission, so that has been a joy. But, you know, driving to the vet every week for months for chemotherapy takes its toll on you. Who knew cancer? Who knew having taking care of a loved one, even if it's a dog with cancer, is difficult?
Yeah. Oh, it's brutal, man.
How long were you doing that for?
Oh God. So Mabel, we found she had a breast lump in February, and then she had a mastectomy, and then chemo was like 3 months long.
Wow. Damn. But wow. In remission now. Okay. Well, that's good. Salute to Mabel. Hey.
Nothing to uplift a show like immediately talking about the slow dystopia and then launching into dog cancer.
Canine cancer.
Yeah. What is the third act?
It's funny because our last guest, Ayumi, she was like, she had a thing too where she said, yeah, it's been tough, but hers was like a very positive turn. It's like in the span of like a couple of months, her mom was diagnosed with cancer and then declared cancer free. So we've had the full spectrum of stories so far.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, Mabel's in remission, so that's great. Right. Naomi, my dear love, just taped her Netflix special, and she destroyed it. That was amazing. I'm writing a movie for the first time.
I mean,
that's amazing.
Awesome.
So look, there are good things that are happening.
Blessings abound.
Absolutely.
Yes. So
blessings,
it's not all
blessings and blessings.
Doom and despair. How are you guys?
You know.
Hey, you know.
Just looking, looking to America's rotten eye every day.
Literally everything I needed to know was contained in those two syllables. A pause and you know.
You know. Like everybody else, just hanging on by our fingernails.
Waiting for that cartoon bird to pluck the fingers off the ledge.
Like, no, right. No, 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 no. And then the another bird, and you're like, oh God.
I got my flu shot this morning, as did my 5-year-old. I highly recommend people get their flu shots. Also in LA, get your dog's flu shots, get your canine flu shots. That's
I didn't realize that was a whole thing until like everyone in our like studio thread was like, get my dog their flu shot, and realizing canine flu is just running.
Yeah, I think it's bad this year.
Brutal.
Can I suggest instead of getting a flu shot either for your dog, that's great, but for yourself or for your family, I just take tick medicine.
Okay.
Oh, good.
Yeah. The heartworm.
And that prevent.
Stuff.
I've heard that prevents against the
you
flu.
You just put a little of the oil on the back of your neck so you can't scratch it off.
A little revolution. Yeah, yeah. Flea medicine, flea control, you love
flea
it.
Flea control. I put on a flea collar, and I think that protects against germs.
Well, we should say, because this isn't a video show, you are wearing one of those neck cones right now.
Yeah, and, Elizabethan collar.
Yeah.
So I can't lick the medicine off.
Right, exactly. All right, Andy, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, a couple of things we're talking about. We're going to talk about Epics with a K, data breach, which means that far-right web users, organizations are being exposed, which is a good thing. Mm-hmm. So happy news up top. We're going to talk about more Facebook memos that got leaked. We're going to just do a quick PSA that Democrats are also greedy pieces of shit based on their work on the...
just remember that.
Yeah, on the pharmaceutical bill. We're going to talk about the release of 191 Rikers Island inmates amid just hell on earth conditions at the jail. We're going to talk about the QR code, the rise, the fall, the re-rise of the QR code.
The mighty QR.
The mighty QR. All of that, plenty more. But first, Andy, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history?
Okay, so this is actually, this directly relates to the last time that I was on. So the last thing I searched was Phoenix, Vault of Heracles, Phoenix spelled F-E-N-Y-X. The last time I was on, I was like despairing because I finished Zelda,
right?
And I didn't have a new game to play. And I asked the Zeitgang for some recommendations. I got a ton of great ones. And I started playing, this is the worst name in the world, but it's a fun game, Immortals Phoenix Rising.
I see so many ads for that game.
It's fun. It's a terrible, terrible name. Again, Phoenix spelled F-E-N-Y-X.
Yeah, love to see it.
F-E-N-Y-X. That's what I was getting wrong.
Yeah. So it's a Zelda-like game you play with, you know, throughout Greek mythology, basically.
Oh, okay.
Were you a Greek mythology fan growing up?
Oh, 100%.
That's such an interesting, like, that. Yeah, we talked about that on a episode a while back, that, like, that is a stage that a lot of kids go through. Like, what, some kids get obsessed with dinosaurs. One of my sons is super obsessed with trains. And some kids, like, when I just put the call out, I was like, what was one of your, like, childhood obsessions that was really strange? And a lot of people were like, 5 years hard on Greek mythology. I was wow, that's
mine
so
was the
unique.
Civil War.
Really? Was it really?
Yeah, because I went to like the Autry Museum and there was like a Civil War exhibit. And then my dad was like explaining, like, as he would, which is like no punches held, like explanation of the Civil War. And I was like, what?
What the fuck?
Yeah. Then why is this stuff in here? He's like, good question.
Which version did he give you, though? Was it like it's states' rights, or was it like no, the South wanted to keep slavery?
My father is a proud black man, said this shit was about state rights.
That would have been terribly wrong.
No, he was like, this was to stop slavery. And I'm like, slavery? Okay, he's like, they don't have that exhibit in here, do they?
Wow.
Look, I don't know your dad. He could have been a Larry Elder fan.
Yeah, right. No, you never know. You never know. Yeah. But yeah. He got an education and grew up fairly aware. So, yeah, that passed down to me.
Damn, you guys were some old ass souls. I was just into sharks. Sharks and karate.
Well, my whole thing was I had so many older family members and like kids I looked up to around me. I was always the youngest that I was always trying to swing way out of my weight class every time to kind of catch up with the people around me. So yeah, I didn't have time for sharks, Jack.
Yeah. I was whatever the opposite of precocious is, I was like a very dumb kid. Like very just like simple and off in my own world. I was not
just wearing like a hat with like the spinny blade on top.
Always. Yeah. I wore that every day to school until eighth grade.
Stories about people turning into monsters and spiders and stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I get it. Type stuff, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Greek mythology was just animorphs before that existed. I was too young for animorphs.
Right.
Right.
But the animorphs weren't banging humans, weren't they?
Well, they kept that part. There was Zeus is a serial sexual assaulter. Like, they keep that stuff out of the kids' version.
Yeah, right. The kids' bop version of Greek mythology.
Exactly.
So, does the game kind of deliver on, like, your dreams as a child of, like, getting to, you know, fuck around and be inside the world of Greek mythology?
Yeah, you get to hang out with Athena.
Wow.
You get to shoot chimeras, and you get to punch other monsters. Yesterday was Yom Kippur, and my brain from fasting all day, my brain was destroyed. And then I like, to break the fast, I basically ate a full dinner and a bag of potato chips.
There you go.
So like, I'm just like, I'm in my brain right now desperately thinking about like, what's another thing for a cyclops? You guys like fighting cyclops? Cyclopi?
Yeah, whatever it is, I'm down.
Oh, then you're gonna love Phoenix.
Was there ever a moment like, because I know you have an eye for detail, you like love information and things like that, were there moments where you're like, I cannot abide by this thing that they've presented to me, or overall it was a nice presentation?
No, because I've learned to like shut that part of my, if I want to have fun, I've learned how to like move from like didactic professorial mode into like, look, it's taken 8 years of therapy, but you know, I'm not sitting here like critiquing like, well, they didn't get, they didn't get the Manticore exactly correct. So I'm going to write to Ubisoft and make sure they hear what I have to say. I'm going to, have a long Twitter thread about how they didn't do this right.
Why Immortals Phoenix Rising is inaccurate. A thread.
Although, if we're being honest, they did not get the Manticore correct. Face facts.
Yeah. I mean, but I'm not going to be the one to point it out.
What is something you think is overrated?
Guys, have you heard about this thing? The Oedipus Complex. Have you heard? I can't believe it. That's all. Anytime you bring up Freudian psychotherapy, all everyone's talking about is the Oedipus Complex. Do you know what it is?
Oh, yeah.
Do I know like about an Oedipal complex? Yeah.
Yeah. You kill your dad and you have sex with your mom?
And then rip your eyes out.
What is that about? That's gross.
I remember in high school, we had to read Oedipus Rex. And I was like, bro, this is the one where he has sex with his mom and rips his eyes out. And like my teacher was like, there's a lot more than just that. And I'm like, okay. I guess
I thought you were going to say she was like, spoilers, Miles. Yeah.
Well, I think it's just more like that this idiot who this like young smart ass decided to just be like, we don't need to read this. This guy bangs his mom, rips his eyes out. We're good. Next.
Right. right. I can tell you everything you needed to know.
Yeah. I'm the spark notes right here.
As a learned man of books, Andy, is the Oedipus complex like overrated? Like, did Freud say, this is something that happens like sometimes and people are like, Freud said we all want to fuck our moms? Or is it, did Freud actually say that shit?
Yeah, it's not like Freud himself. It's our sick society. It's our sick society that like really fixated upon that and then turned it into like a porn genre.
Right. Yeah, that is wildly popular these
What
days,
is it if you're, it's your stepmother, though? Is that still Oedipal?
It's
Steptable.
I think the other version is the Electra complex, if I remember right. But it's gross. Let's stop talking about it. No one's doing it.
When was the last time you had to confront something like this? Because I feel like, man, I haven't seen it on Twitter recently, but has something come up recently? We're like, here we go with the Oedipal shit.
Right.
Just like, all these creepy billionaires are doing this kind of stuff. Am I right? Billionaires killing their dads and sleeping with their moms. That's why we got to get rid of them. It's not about any economic stuff. It's that they're these gross creeps.
Right. I mean,
you think Epstein's the only one?
Right. Yeah.
They're all like that.
Yeah. What is something you think is underrated, Andy?
Hey, have you guys watched that TV show Lodge 49?
No.
I don't think I have.
Yeah, okay. And that's because it's underrated. This is for real. Lodge 49. So I love this show. I interviewed the creator, Jim Gavin, on my podcast a while ago. But I've been holding back the second season because like it got canceled after the second season and I knew there were no new episodes coming. I really wanted to savor it. It's one of the best shows of the last 10 years, just hands down. It's about, I think on Long Beach, basically, about like a bunch of different characters who are very down and out, but find meaning in this lodge. And it's just like, you know, a gathering place where they can talk and meet and have a community together. But there's all this other kind of stuff going on, like with the kind of mystical history of the lodge. But there's no kind of like actual supernatural stuff. It all takes place in reality, but they're just kind of like, their own lives are kind of just like imploding. And so they kind of invest in this lodge and in the mythology of the lodge. And it stars Kurt Russell's son.
Okay.
And
Wyatt.
A bunch of great character actors. And it's I think you can get it on Hulu. You can.
And the title refers to The Crying of Lot 49, which is a novella by Thomas Pynchon that has that sort of, it's not supernatural, but it seems like there's like all this stuff going on below the surface and all these like patterns all around us and
yeah,
type thing that he says was an inspiration. I am reading this off of Wikipedia, but that is one of my favorite. I thought it was a novel. I was proud when I read it, but apparently just a novella.
Oof.
So
they're putting that on you. They're trying to steal that from you. They're trying to steal that accomplishment from you. It's a novel.
Yeah. Thank you.
Is it about the author's intent that dictates if it's a novel or novella? Or what's like the, how do you even determine that?
I think it's a number of words, a word count, but I also think it's fuzzy.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's a novel. They're just trying to compare it to like Gravity's Rainbow, which was like 10,000 pages.
Right. Right.
Right.
It's all relative. Yeah, all right. So
that's the show. Okay. The most underrated show, you said. I like this. I like.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna check it out. Are you streaming it as of late, or what's?
Yeah,
where
so I've just started going through the second season, and it's just incredible. And I wish they had more seasons.
Where is it available for streaming? Where are you?
Hulu.
Hulu.
Okay, got
Hulu.
It. Yes,
probably the AMC. It was on AMC. I guess if you have the AMC app, I don't know how many people have the AMC Plus.
Oh, you don't need anything else once you get the AMC Plus. I mean, you're good. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. And we're back. And so this is a bit of good news. Epic, which is the It's a web host. Their CEO has come up a couple times in recent weeks because his name, not this isn't the reason he's come up, but you might remember him because his name is Rob Monster.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah,
come on.
Bro.
Oh, yeah.
And they
wait, that's his given name?
Who knows? I mean,
he
looks so lame. You're like, honestly, you might just had a cool name and just been a, like, look like this guy. I don't know.
Yeah. He was inspired by Rob Zombie, but like couldn't be.
He didn't want to bite
as
it.
Specific.
Someone called him a biter, so he changed it.
Rob.
Oh, he changed it. I'm looking at Wikipedia. He changed it from Rob Frankenstein.
And people were like, oh, so you're a doctor? And he was like, no. Meant the monster.
Sick neck bolt tattoos, bro.
But anyways, for a long time, the far right has kind of been able to get away with hiding out on Epic web-hosted websites. And Anonymous did their thing and basically leaked about 10 years worth of data. And it is everything.
It's fuck. I mean, like, you know, it's the kind of information that far right researchers, journalists, activists have always been like, who is actually running these sites? Like who are these domains registered to? Because that was the whole deal with Epic. Rob Monster was like, free speech, baby. You know, that's why he was hosting shit like Gab and Parler, fucking the GOP Texas website, all kinds of shit like that. And it was always under this thing of like, your information is sacred. It's fucking prioritized. It's bulletproof. No one can breach this. And then cut to 10 years of fucking everything. Like to the point where like every analyst who's looked at it said, I've never seen any like a more breathtaking breach of like data ever, because it's, and the way that Epic like just had an utter lack of security with things made it very easy where even if people were like, I need my Nazi site, I need to be anonymized as like the for being the owner of this domain. They're like, yeah, you can use our anonymized service, blah, blah, blah. They just turned it into a number that was attached to another number that like they could easily cross-reference. And they're like, oh, okay, so it's this guy. And so suddenly a lot of people like, I mean, this breach just happened. So slowly things are coming out. But Anonymous says, I quote, the data is all that's needed to trace actual ownership and management of the fascist side of the internet that has eluded researchers, activists, and well, just about everybody. So this has been an interesting thing because Epic, at first, this guy, Rob Monster, tried to be, he was like, oh, that's a nothing, bro. Like, I don't know what's going on. There's nothing happening. And really hasn't acknowledged the extent of this breach. And then there are a lot of other people on the far right, you know, internet who are like kind of in this sort of mixed reaction of like confusion, denial, and fear. So it's going to be a very interesting next couple of weeks as, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of unmasking, I think, of some of these websites.
Yeah, a bunch of cops, politicians, media figures.
I kind of come when these quote unquote free speech guys, how come all of the websites they host are always Nazi websites and like fascist websites? How come it's never pro-Palestinian websites or anything on the left that somehow Google pushes down in their searches? How come it's, oh, it seems like free, I don't know about it. It just seems to me, maybe I'm crazy, that when people talk about quote unquote free speech, they really just mean fascism and Nazis.
Yeah. I mean, recently, that has definitely been the trend. For sure, there has been a history of the left being policed, and probably still up till recently. It's just the ones that get covered and that get lumped in with these websites tend to be, yeah, white supremacists.
Yeah.
Weird.
The Rob Monster did like a online like AMA over video, like, I don't know why. And it's the fucking weirdest thing I've ever seen where like journalists are like being like, hey, you host this like website of this guy who doxed me. Like this violates your terms of service. Like take down the site now. And he's like, yeah, you know, like I'm really transparent. And he's like on his computer, like clicking away. And he's like, yep, it's down. I just took it down. And then at a certain point,
you're like slapping of hands. Like he's pretending he's typing.
Oh yeah. They're like, we can see your hands. You're not touching anything. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm deleting everything. And there were like, this call had like neo-Nazis on it, activists. They were like yelling at each other. But then that at a certain point, Rob Monster was like asking for like angels to rebuke the demons. It was like a whole
a thing. Like, I think it's he clearly wasn't did not want to be honest as to just the extent of how bad this breach was and how like vulnerable he left all of his customers. And the other thing is too, there's people who I think use who or not. I think there are people who use Epic that aren't, you know, fascists. So their information is leaked too. But at the same time, I think really the thing that these researchers are mostly interested by are like former teachers who are running things like, you know, dank nugs for like fucking Proud Boys.
Teachers is a good one too.
Yeah, no, yeah. There's a New Jersey teacher who got fired for saying that, like, you know, doing one of his weird COVID is like the Holocaust type takes, and he got fired. And then his name came up as like owning all kinds of wacky, you know, site domains and things like that. So there's like a doctor who owns a ton of Trump websites in California. There's like slowly starting to see things.
It's going to be interesting to see how the Tucker Carlson show continues to be produced once every single person who works for him is unmasked. Because, like,
right.
I know his main writer got, like, unmasked as, like, just the most reprehensible online Nazi bully. And he had to let him go. He had to let him resign. Mm-hmm. I wonder what's going to happen to every single person who writes for him.
They'll just keep writing for him under pseudonym.
Yeah. Have there ever been repercussions for Tucker Carlson or anyone that works at Fox?
He just Venmos that writer now under the table, basically.
Sure.
By the way, why wasn't every question at the AMA, why is your last name Monster?
His whole thing is just so... His whole energy is just really like he really told all these people, he promised them, you know, like in a way, like he grifted all these far right people too to be like, they won't do it like I will. Even though, you know, over the years, like the Pittsburgh synagogue shooting, he was like hosting content from that. The one in Christchurch, like Epic has been involved with some of the most heinous shit on the internet. And at the same time, he would lure them in with this promise of like, nothing's gonna, everything's safe. But also every analyst said this is the most laughable security I've ever seen in my life. They said it was like locking the door to a bank at night, but you turn the alarm off and you leave the vault open. So all someone has to know how to do is just pick the door lock and then you have everything.
Wow.
Sounds like Justified season 6.
Yeah. I was just thinking about like Watchmen, the HBO Watchmen, and all the cops and politicians and people getting unmasked. It'll be interesting to see what we see in the coming days. Let's talk about Facebook. While we're on the subject of, you know, online leaks, Facebook, there's another batch of leaks. And this one reveals that Facebook seems to know that they are part of the anti-vax problem.
Yeah. It's just like everything we've seen from this Wall Street Journal like series is shit we already saw from the outside, but thanks for showing us that these idiots are absolutely aware of it on the inside too. And then this is the latest thing. It deals with like how Zuckerberg apparently, you know, he posted that thing, how he thinks Facebook's this vehicle for social change and that he wanted to flex their might to get all these people vaccinated, but his own stupid fucking algorithms and lack of moderation just completely undermined all of it. When vaccines became like, you know, pretty available at the end of the spring of this year, quote, roughly 41% of comments on English language vaccine related posts risked discouraging vaccinations, they found. Meanwhile, they said users were seeing comments on vaccine related posts 775 million times a day, all in this memo. Facebook researchers were worried the large proportion of negative comments could influence perceptions of the vaccine safety. Even authoritative sources of vaccine information were becoming cesspools of anti-vaccine comments. That's a huge problem and we need to fix it, they said. There's a fucking slide in that they're presenting internally that said, this is a problem we need to fix, because they said, even if we like spotlight posts from the CDC or Fauci, the comments just fucking melt down and we don't know what to do. So, yeah.
At what point do we realize as a society, community, whatever, that an algorithm is not a great way to structure anything? Like, an algorithm runs the Google Map app I use to get around Los Angeles, and it decides that taking 30,000 left turns to get somewhere 5 seconds earlier is a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
That's instead of like going a straight line.
Right.
And getting there, you know, at 10 o'clock and 5 seconds. Right. That's not a smart way to, I mean, we already know that, like, it's racist and every other kind of ist you can think of, because it's all because of the way it's the algorithms are designed. You know, they kind of follow the brain patterns of the designers.
Right.
So, who are overwhelmingly white. So, like, at what point do we just say, hey, maybe reintroducing humans into this chain is a smart thing to do?
Right. Well, because at the end of the day, it's just a way to set their business on autopilot to keep engagement up. And that's all it does. They know, they know that their algorithm just creates more discord and just fucking chaos. They know that that's how it skews. And they look at it and they're like, well, fuck, I don't know, like, but we can only keep saying this so many times. They go on to talk about, like, they knew that they were, like, they knew it was bad, but, and they tried to get it under control, but they were just so bad at moderating the misinformation. It just became a runaway train. And they said anti-vaccine content was twice as prevalent in comment sections as in posts, but the company's ability to detect or take down problematic comments was, quote, bad in English and basically non-existent elsewhere. They said that there was, like, a viral post that was saying that, like, that said, quote, vaccines are all experimental and you are in the experiment. It stayed up because, quote, Facebook systems mistakenly thought it was written in Romanian.
Okay.
What?
So
those are
it.
All English words. I don't understand. Like, what is going on over there? And, you know, publicly, Facebook has always just sort of scoffed at this idea that they have anything to do with vaccine hesitancy, even though anyone who looks at anything go, I know this person is vax hesy because they're on Facebook all day. It's a very straight line for most people. And they've essentially, but their own internal memos show that they know all this is going on. And the memos make it clear. They have often made minimal or ineffectual efforts to address the issues and they play them down in public. So,
yeah, I mean, I don't it's know. Like, they fucking... the thing about their inability to, like, moderate all of this is purely just based on the fact that they want big margins, right? They don't want to employ the number of people it would take to moderate this shit and, like, keep the public safe. I think we need a fundamental, like, kind of holistic rethinking of how American capitalism works. And, like, this came up for me in the QR codes story that we're about to cover, because as they're, like, kind of instituting these QR codes for vaccine passports essentially around the country, they're it's like multiple, like, providers and, like, coders are, like, providing their own, and they're trying to compete with one another, and, like, there's nobody watching, so it's easy to, like, hack into. And with Facebook, it's, you know, it's been this way for a long time, and they're trying to operate as a, like, $1 trillion business.
Truly a $1 trillion company. They're valued at $1 trillion.
Instead of, like, this should be a government-run thing where, like, we never have any problem with fucking unemployment, because there are so many jobs to make this run that would make this run well and just be, like, a good source of information, but they refuse to do it. They insist on running it like it's a fucking, like, you know, like a marketable, like, $1 trillion. I think their margins, like, in the 30 to 40% range. Yeah. Like, that's an insanely high margin, and that's what they're choosing. They're choosing to not spend that money so they have a high margin so that people want to invest in their company, which that's what the system kind of tells them to do. But, like, the system doesn't work for this anymore. Like, we've seen that this is killing hundreds of thousands of people, like, right in front of our eyes, right in this report. Like, that is what this tells us.
Well, but there's also fear that they don't even know if there is a number of people you could hire to actually moderate it, because of the millions of users there are on the constant amount of user generated content that comes out. Like, if there's also, like, question marks about that.
Right. Well, then
it's never going to come from the top down. Right. No. Because they have absolutely no incentive to do anything about it, because it's made them wealthy beyond any of our imaginations. Right. So it really has to be, I think, like, it has to come from the bottom. There has to be some kind of, like, movement that changes.
Right.
Not just Facebook. I mean, literally everything.
Well, Sandberg and Zuckerberg, they got to go talk to the, I think, the Congress again.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens there.
But I mean, like, think about, like, the thing that was the tech industry that was minting billionaires back in the, like, Gilded Age was the railroad system. And then they broke up all these massive monopolies and, like, changed the rules around that. And now we have fucking Amtrak. Like, nobody's getting rich off the railroads anymore. And it's just a, like, thing. It's a service that, like, runs that, like, the government has to subsidize. And, you know, like, just it's over the course of time, like, as you figure it out. But, like, we have figured it out that this does not work as a privatized, like, service. It needs to be a public service that is treated like anything that is massive and, like, being used by everybody.
Right. But who's our Teddy Roosevelt? Right. But it's not Biden. Mm-hmm. Biden's, you know, barely, yeah, you know, getting to noon without sundowning. So right. It's not like, it's not going to be him. So who's that person? Have you ever, either of you ever seen a thing on Facebook? And I mean, not that I'm on for more than like 3 minutes a day, but like, have you ever seen a thing where you're like, I don't need to check a second source. This
no, of course.
This meme from vaxgoofs.shit is fine.
Like, vaxgoofs.shit.
No, I mean, to be honest, I stopped looking at it like maybe 7 years ago. I just couldn't, like, once I could see, like, people starting to come out with their, like, wacky takes about anything, I was like, dude, this, it used to just be a place for me to shit talk about old classmates with my other friends, to be like, yo, did you see their ex pool? Like, they're wilding right now. And now it's, like, all this weird, ridiculous, like, oh, okay, everyone's unmasking themselves as racists or whatever. I'm like, I don't care.
I block those people.
No, but I mean, I just look at, there's nothing, yeah, there's nothing here for me. Like, the people I know, I talk with. And people who want to get at me know how to get at me.
Relatives post baby photos. So I go look for a couple minutes a day and then I'm done.
Yeah. But those are deep fakes. Come on. We all know.
I meet them in real life and I'm like, oh, how's Todd, your new infant? They're like, what? Oh, no. I defaked. I was holding a potato. Right.
All right. Let's do a quick PSA. Mm-hmm. The more you know. Dum, dum, dum. Democrats are also greedy pieces of shit.
Oh, who'd have thought? Yeah. Hey, blue no matter who. No matter who. No matter who. It's got to be blue, even if they want to raise prescription drug prices on you. So, you know, prescription drug prices are astronomically high in this country. That's something we have all known for many years. It's been a constant issue here. Joe Biden knew it. Trump knew it. They always talk about how terrible, like, the prescription drug costs are and how they're going to renegotiate things to get things down to a humane level. And, you know, part of the plan to pay for this $3.5 trillion infrastructure plan is to, like, renegotiate prescription drug costs so the government can save money and then redistribute that as they see fit. But the House Energy and Commerce Committee just voted this shit down in committee, and the Republicans were never going to be on board with this. I don't think anyone counted that. But it took three centrist fucking loser Dems on this committee decided to vote it down and block this piece of legislation. And just want to say, Kurt Schrader from Oregon, Scott Peters from California, and Kathleen Rice from New York, their whole thing was saying that, like, it's going to harm private sector innovation was their fucking reason for this. And that's... I'm like, that's just wonk speak for they will make less money and they give me a lot to basically, you know, be a fullback to blow open the hole for them to just.
But they showed evidence, right?
Oh, yeah.
They showed they had a lot of evidence that said this will hurt.
They did. They said it'll hurt us because we have collectively gotten around almost $2 million from them in donations. So that could fuck us up. Mm-hmm. But this bill was going to save the government about $456 billion and reduce prices by 57 to 75%.
Right.
But they're big pharma fucking darlings. Schrader and Peters, they're among the two biggest fucking recipients of pharma donations, like almost 1.5 million. Peters is right now currently the top House recipient from pharma. And they know they give to these people because they're on these committees that are going to dictate the flow of their business. This is how all of this shit works. The other thing that's just will really leave you quaking in your boots, Peters.
him, his, and his whole family, they're estimated to be worth about $60 million. He's like one of the wealthiest people in Congress. His wife is the president and CEO of an investment firm whose company has, you know, manufacturing and packaging for pharmaceutical companies. So there's a lot of, you know, a lot of shoulder rubs going on here. And not to mention with Mr. Schrader, his longtime aide is now a top lobbyist for the Pharmaceutical Research and Manufacturers of America, Pharma for short, which is a very powerful Washington drug lobby. And that's textbook revolving door shit. You pick off the people's aides to become lobbyists. You offer them so much cash, their eyes bleed, that they go turn lobbyist. And then all they've done is paid for like a direct line to your old boss who's on it, sitting on a committee in Congress. Jesus, that's how this shit happens constantly. That's the same. Even in House of Cards, right? Remy Danton, that character, he used to be Frank Underwood's top aide. And then he became the lobbyist for the natural gas or whatever fucking company that was. It's just the same, just nonsense. And so when we look at how these things don't happen, it's because of the money in Congress and the money in politics. It's just these people are, you know, they're sponsored by them to make sure legislation that would reduce drug costs by 57 to 75% for humans, us, just doesn't happen.
Right.
Yeah. That's why I said before, it has to be, they're never going to do the right thing. Either they have no, have absolutely no empathy, or they are craven little worm tongues. It has to be us. It has to be everyone from the bottom up. Like, yeah. And I think these people.
But yeah, I can't imagine someone who's worth $60 million even has the ability to like open their empathy door to be like, oh man, like that's a lot of money. Like maybe I should do the right thing. Because at the end of the day, lobbying makes it easier to fundraise. It's less time they have to spend out in the field with their hat in hand because lobbyists will package a bunch of donations for them and then say, remember Big Pharma now when shit like this happens. And if you need an excuse, we'll write them up for you. And they'll be really slick. And you can go out and tell people that it's going to fucking harm private sector innovation. Like, their incentive to innovate doesn't vaporize because they make less money from gouging people that need essential medicines. Like, I just reject that premise entirely. But that's again, to your point, craven enough to go out and say something like that in public.
Right. Again, because of margins, because pharmaceutical companies are interested in margins and not like there's no government intervention. There's no these are wildly deregulated industries, and suggesting, well, we need more regulation, like sounds like you're the bad guy from Ghostbusters. So like that's we're just now coming to terms with like how thoroughly we've been fucking like steeped in just this idea of like small government deregulation. The market is going to fucking solve everything. And it just story after story, we're just stepping on rakes, you know, just like rake after rake, just fucking slamming us in the face. Every single one is caused by the same kind of logic that was created, or at least like really got on steroids in the beginning of the 80s and has been here.
The irony is all those words you said, like small government, the free market, those are all just the words of the business owning class that have been just
exactly
hammered into people's brains. And people are like, right, that's what we need, without realizing, no, those are talking points that someone exponentially wealthier than you has poisoned the discourse with. So now the people are like,
to make your life more
difficult.
Like
that idea. I'm going to cape for that. So please destroy your inner fucking
Ronald Reagan. Yeah.
By the way, have you guys heard the urban legend of Large Margin?
Tell them Large Margin sent you.
All right. Let's take a quick break to, think about that. Digest pun, that. Yeah. And we'll be back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets.
if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. And we're back. And QR codes were, as recently as, you know, that people were writing articles fairly recently that were like, QR codes are like, it kind of felt like the segues of people were like, this is the wave of the future, like, you know, and like Wired and shit. And then,
yeah, it's the Zune
and then right.
Codes.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, shout out to Zune God.
And then companies started adopting them and like trying to use them in marketing campaigns, and it, first of all, they did a bad job, and because it was just a gimmick, it wasn't like a actually like centrally funded thing that they were trying to build any significant part of their business on. So we had things like Heinz put a QR code on their ketchup bottles and somebody scanned it and was sent to a porn website. They also
wait, for real? Like, yeah, as a joke? Yeah.
No.
Like somebody,
so like I think they just like let the URL lapse really quickly after they did the thing, and so somebody came in and just had like put a bunch of porn videos on a webpage, realizing, hey, there's a lot of traffic going here, and hey, you know what monetizes better than anything is pornography.
Mm.
So, and then there was also one where a company had a QR code that you scanned off of a promote, like off of a billboard, except they put it on the other side of a subway track. So you would have had to cross a subway track to scan the advertisement. Gillette did the horrible Scan Kate Upton's Brain campaign. Where
what was that?
It was just like a thought bubble coming out of Kate
Upton's brain.
It was a thought bubble coming out of Kate Bubble. Kate Upton's brain, like, this is her thought bubble, and then it was a QR code, and it says, how does Kate Upton like her man's body styled? Read her mind.
That's just so freaky when you're like, that's the thing the offer is like, read her mind.
And I want to read at this your image mind, and you're
like, it looks like robot nightmare. Like, and like, oh, God, okay.
But they have become of late super useful in the pandemic because they offer a touchless way to transmit information. They were first invented like fairly recently. I think it was like 2007. Somebody invented them. No, sorry, 1994. It just seems like 2000. That's just my version of 2007 because inside my brain, it's still 2010.
But 1815.
Right. They were created by a worker at a Toyota subsidiary who was sick of scanning more than one barcode on car parts. So he invented a code that could hold 300 times more data using the same amount of space. And he came up with the idea while playing Go, the ancient strategy board game with black and white pieces on a square board. And
did this guy get ripped off by them? Like the, you know, the inventor of the chicken nugget, basically like McDonald's was like, gave him a pat on the head and sent him on his way.
So here's the thing. He was happy to, he was like, I don't mind that this is, that this became extremely popular and I'm not like a billionaire. I'd rather this have become very popular. And he said he's in 2020, he said he's really pleased that it's been used to help improve people's safety. So that's the sort of like thinking that is just so anathema to like modern American capitalism. But he was just like, you guys take it. Same with like the vaccines, you know, it was like, wait, why would we let everybody just have access to this thing that we invested money in?
Right.
So that's one of the reasons that it's become this tool so quickly that we've been able to use is because somebody decided to not follow the logic of capitalism and instead let it ride, let people use it. Someone in Italy even tattooed their vaccine QR code onto their arm so that they could successfully scan it at McDonald's. Somebody printed t-shirts that had theirs on it. So it was as recently as 2012, people were like writing, are QR codes dead? But they've become popular since in 2017. Like this is what the only time I started using them. Apple allowed their camera app to scan QR codes. Like that's when I was like, oh, I just opened my camera and it immediately opens a web page and that's great.
You used to need an app for it.
And nobody was doing that.
Yeah. And I was like, this is fucking dumb. Just so I could like open up like a promo Sprite website. Like,
right.
Did you get a discount on Sprite though?
No. It was just like, oh, Grant Hill's back. Did you miss him? And I'm like, no. Fuck, bro. What the fuck is this?
They haven't quite nailed it again because they have a bunch of different companies like creating the vaccine passports. In Israel, the QR code on the Green Pass, which is their like vaccine passport, had no encryption, leading to a massive black market of bogus certificates.
Yeah. I went to get a COVID test the other day and I had to show a QR code from when I signed up for it. And it led to one of Epic's websites.
So ethical hackers have tried to test the security of vaccine QR codes in places like Quebec, where they had no encryption. They were able to create their own QR codes that spoofed the identity of several Quebec politicians, including the premier. And in New York, here in America, there are two competing vaccine verification systems, and they both suck. The city's NYC COVID Safe app doesn't rely on a QR code, and it's basically just an image storing app that allows you to take a picture of your vaccination card. But it's incredibly easy to spoof. Instead of a vaccine card, you could upload everything from a photo of Mickey Mouse to a barbecue restaurant menu. They wouldn't notice. And yeah, I mean, this is where I was just like, okay, so there's also the state app, the Excelsior Pass does use a QR code, but even that was remarkably easy to hack using public information from social media. And so, yeah, I mean, QR codes are actually amazing considering that they were literally invented by a random dude who was playing a board game. But the problem isn't anything to do with technology. It's the way that people have used them. They sucked for a long time because corporations were using them as a gimmick. And now they have huge value potentially, but bureaucratic sloppiness in government and in you know, open markets is impeding their effectiveness. So, but there's a lot there. Like, what if people who knew what they were doing, like if governments would invest in, you know, hiring some of those people who work for Facebook to work for them, if we actually invested in the public sector, we would be able to have a functioning system.
But what kind of margins are we looking at on that exactly, public sector?
Exactly.
Large margins?
Large margins, yes. Tell them. That is the scariest moment maybe in movie history for like because oh, yeah. for when I saw yeah. it, how much it oh, scared yeah. me.
Oh, I had haunted to, me for years.
I'd have to fast forward, actually. It's like, I actually hate that part. It feels like such a departure from the whole film.
Yeah.
Like, tonally. That as a kid, I remember being so offended. I was like, this is just too intense. The eyes didn't have to shoot out like that. And yeah. for those who are too young to know, talking about Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Mm-hmm. All right. That one came out in, what, 2011? 2000?
No, that's Big Top Pee-wee.
And finally, like in a related story, the fake vaccine card business is just a booming. We talked a few weeks ago about how bogus cards are being peddled online. Now the industry is absolutely thriving. Card prices doubled from around 100 to 200 on average and rose from around 1,000 sellers to more than 10,000. This is in the days after Biden announced all the
right
private sector businesses.
Yeah, so what they got, it's just hackers making this stuff, cooking it up for people?
No, it's pretty like there's Etsy had a lot of sellers on there. They're also like drug dealers. So somebody from New York Mag like reached out to a drug dealer. No clue how this person had this drug dealer's
number. It's their drug dealer.
Right, exactly.
Come on now. What the fuck? There's a website that'll connect journalists with drug dealers for stories? Uh-huh. No, it's the guy who you buy.
Indeed, some of the fake cards are being provided by drug dealers. Quote, business is very, very good, said Alan, a counterfeit card purveyor who also peddles weed and coke. Too good. I need a vacation. And then the journalist, I found him on a Facebook anti-vaccination group, and he reluctantly agreed to meet me over a frozen margarita at a kitschy Bushwick bar.
No. All you did was say...
outside my house when he was selling... Yeah. I mean, can you... Like, what if the article had said, like, peddles weed and some of the best cocaine you're going to yeah. find
right.
in Bushwick. Even, you don't have to bother to test it. I trust this. I mean, people yeah. should... I mean, let's be strips. Real. He reluctantly agreed to meet over a frozen margarita at a kitschy bar. You were at the bar. He came to drop off your eight ball. And you're like, hey, you got a second? Can I ask you something? And he's like, dude, come on. What? I got to keep going. He's like, what are you doing with the vaccine cards? He's like, oh, yeah, business is very, very good, man. All right, I got to go, man. Tell your cousin to stop calling me. And then he takes off.
Val doth flesh it off out with details too much, I guess, would be the way of saying it. Yeah. I don't know.
Next season of High Mate.
FYI, found him on Facebook anti-vaccination group.
Okay.
Reluctantly agreed. Like, I was like, hey, bro, you're a coke dealer? Wow, random.
That's so sick.
That's how about some frozen margs?
What's the name of the author? What's the journalist's name?
I don't have it in front of me, but they are definitely...
I just want to look at to see if they've got, like, coke eyes.
Dude, I just, yeah. Hey, how many ecstasies can I get off of you, man?
Right. How many ecstasies, my good man? Anyways, people can just make their own, though. Templates are available through sketchy websites such as the Tennessee Department of Health. In May, the Tennessee Department of Health just posted a blank vaccine card template on their website.
Oh my god.
Why?
Which I think wasn't the woman who was caught because she misspelled the vaccine information. She was like from someplace completely different, but I think she had a Tennessee vaccine card.
Mm.
So yeah, watch out for that. If your friend randomly has a Texian vaccine card or a Tennessee vaccine card, you might want to, take another look.
Yikes. I mean, why put a template up there? I came up and I used to do this shit when I was in high school. I found a template for a New Jersey driver's license to make all my friends fake 18-year-old licenses so we could buy cigarettes. And I found it because I just searched for a license template online. And I'm sure the 2021 version of Teen Miles probably saw that shit and can cook up things like that. I just don't understand that. Just the utter lack of consideration on how this information is going to be used. And then also our very robust cardboard cards, too. Yeah. Very safe.
Miles, why didn't you just do what my friends did, which was have an unscrupulous friend work at a supermarket and just steal cartons of cigarettes?
Oh, man. Good call, actually, on that. I had one friend who, no one who was living there. I had one friend whose families owned a bunch of liquor stores, and then they could, come through with, boxes, of stolen shit. But that was the limits of my reach.
And so, people are asking the question, could someone tell if a paper card wasn't issued by an official medical provider? And the associate professor of epidemiology at Johns Hopkins, Bloomberg, reassured us, absolutely not.
Hell no. Fuck, bro. That is so fucking bad. Yeah, what are we going to do? How do we make them on par with can't you just add a thing to a driver's license?
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, they had to get them out quick. They had to get the vaccines out quickly. But yeah, now.
I mean, at this point, I think maybe now, because for the longest time, the Biden administration was like, we're not really talking about a sort of identification regime type thing, because they knew they didn't want to sort of rock that boat. But now that they're out here with these mandates, you'd hope that they're like, yeah, we're trying to make sure that it's a thing that, you can't just get buy off of eBay.
Yeah, you can buy them off of eBay. And you can also buy fake vaccine cards off of Amazon in Canada, although not in the US. Bummer. But it doesn't really matter how easy it is to get somebody to make one for you, because you can make one yourself with the Tennessee thing and a fucking pen. So anyways, if you're a counterfeiter, just keep making fake IDs for kids, or be a fucking drug dealer. Don't do this shit.
Keep making IDs for kids.
Whatever. That's honestly, this is way more harmful than making fake
IDs. Than me smoking Dejarums under a freeway overpass.
Yeah.
Do you guys ever just grasp your head in pain at just how stupid this era is that we're living through? Where people would rather have to go through all this counterfeiting. They want to take ground up some earthworms and eat them because they think that'll cure them or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Then just do a normal thing, go get a vaccine.
It's, it's just another societal realignment that we're living through, clearly, because that's what I keep saying. That truly you are just scratching your head all the time. I don't understand, how did you arrive to that conclusion?
Yeah. No, yeah. But it's just like I would rather drink pig diarrhea than I would get a vaccine. That kind of thing, it right. Literally gives me a headache.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's just part of, shows how our media diets and echo chambers and things like that truly can create entirely new vivid realities for people.
Yeah. Although what they're not telling you is, pig diarrhea does cure it, but that is actually just not
big
profitable pharma
doesn't
for
want
big
you to
pharma.
Know.
Yeah.
They don't want you to know it's how delicious it is.
And that's big pharma.
Thank you.
Oh, no.
Andy, it's been a pleasure as always having you. Where can people find you and follow you?
Oh, Andy Beckerman on Twitter and Instagram and Beginnings, wherever you get your podcast from.
Yeah.
That's as you said in the beginning, the 500th episode I just put out. It's an interview podcast where I talk to creators I like, either musicians or writers or actors or comedians, about their childhoods and how those childhoods led them to create the things that they create. And the 500th episode, I talked to Arthur Matthews, who's the creator of Father Ted and Toast of London, and a lot of other incredible British comedies. He's great.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Nice.
Thank you guys for having me on. This is a delight.
Is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
Yes. I got two. You can tell me.
No.
One of them, I got two.
Hit
because
them with us both.
The first one, it's you know, unless you're sick of Norm MacDonald stuff at this point.
Never. No.
This resurfaced after he just passed away, and I thought it was so funny. I'm not going to even try to do his voice, but a man is a coin. No obverse without reverse. If you like, remember Jeff Epstein as a monster, destroying lives with a wicked nonchalance. But for me, I will remember him as the man who killed Jeff Epstein.
Fuck. Miles, where can people find you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. Also, the other show, 420 Day Fiance with Sophia Alexandra. Come by, check out our 90 Day Fiance takes over there. Some tweets I like. First one is this from at @Zon_Z. It's a picture of that scene in The Matrix where Morpheus is like has all that shit hooked up to his head because they're like trying to get all the information and like, you know, Agent Smith is talking to him. And it's in this picture, there's text superimposed in front of Morpheus's face and says, "We should destroy The Matrix." And Agent Smith says, "Yet you participate in The Matrix. Curious. I am very intelligent." I love those takes. Man, yes, very intelligent. "Yet you participate in it." Mm. And the next one is from at Dan Cannon. More of an informative tweet.
Cannon.
He said, "Happy Friday, everyone. To kick off the weekend, let's talk about secondary traumatic stress." And he says, "You're about to see a whole lot of this, especially among healthcare workers, teachers, and therapists in the wake of COVID-19. This thread basically goes on to sort of talk about this phenomenon that is experienced by like lawyers very vividly and other people who are in situations where they are dealing with people that are like very high stakes, emotional things, and their empathy can almost burn out.
Mm.
And it's just a really interesting thread. I'll retweet it. You can check it out. But I just thought it was a very interesting perspective on like what the effects are on people too. Like as we're all sitting here in a pandemic, like watching all this chaos unfold, that there is an absolute, like there are other forms of stress that we're experiencing that haven't necessarily been articulated clearly. So really interesting tweet.
Yeah. Tweet I've been enjoying. Josh Gondelman tweeted, "It's always slightly jarring when a routine appointment asks for an emergency contact. Like, how intense is this apartment tour going to get?" And then I liked this. Ed Haircut Hippie tweeted, "There's an extraordinarily defensive style of writing where I can recognize if someone is probably active on Twitter or not by how often they include weird preemptive defenses of positions no sane person would ever take." Like, and then his example is, "I like cheese, asterisk. To be clear, I do not think vegans should be ground into Soylent. I am aware as well of the harms of factory farming as well as the dangers of industrial agriculture," and then goes on and on. But that is something I've totally noticed both in writing and in podcasting.
Yeah.
You can tell when a podcaster pays attention to their comments. And oof. Anyways, what do I do now? You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that, hey, we think you might enjoy. Miles. Yeah. What song do we think people are going
to
enjoy?
I mean, this is a fun little rap track to get your neck snapping, to get into your week. It's called "Jailbreak the Tesla" featuring Amine. And it's from the trio Injury Reserve. And yeah, man, it's just a lot of...
That's a great title.
Yeah, it's called "Jailbreak the Tesla." It's just got energy. The drums fucking are probably blow your doors off. But hey, enjoy it. And yeah, just have a good week.
All right. Well, the Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us. But we are back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we will talk to y'all then. Bye.
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 Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get.
But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.